While we are facing challenging times in our culture, schools are closed, we're teaching our kids at home, and some of us are even working from home. Well, that new reality puts new stress on families, along with providing new opportunities. Now, this morning, our guest is Marilee Bradley, a mom of six in Lincoln who is adapting to these changing times. Marilee, welcome back to the conversation.
I am so glad to be talking to an adult. You have no idea.
Well, we are glad to be talking to you as well. Whenever we have things that we want to talk about, we want to engage families and moms and kids, you're our favorite one to talk to because we know you, we love you, we love the way that you walk with Jesus, we love the way that you're real and authentic, and you have a lot of kids.
I do, and they are all home right now. One of them is gently knocking at the door, so I'm going to hope that that just magically takes care of itself.
So you, like the rest of the world, have been hit with a new reality of kids at home instantly.
Yes, and it is not summer. We are still expected to do all of the things of the normal school year.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're a planner, so, I mean, typically going into the summer, you've got plans. You didn't get a chance to plan this.
Oh, absolutely not. But I definitely took a big hunk of time the other morning to make some schedules, set out some goals, because we are not going to survive without that.
So, Marilee, before we get into some specific topics I want to talk with you about this morning, as you entered into this new reality as the whole COVID-19 hit and all the shifts and shutdowns and kids home, how did you personally just process that and seek to get some stable ground underneath you to be able to be a parent from?
It's been really important to me to try and latch on to some of the practical things. What can I actually do? Mm. For us, it's real quickly been, okay, we are going to stay away from grandma and grandpa right now. Mm. And we are going to explain our kids why they might be a vulnerable population and how we aren't really worried for ourselves, but we want to, out of love, be mindful for them. But it's really been out of this focus of, this feels really helpless to me. This feels like something totally out of my control. But what are the things that I can do? And try to have some practical advice, something solid to be on here, and then to communicate to my kids from a position of security and not panic that, yep, this is what we are doing to try and help keep you safe and keep other people safe.
What are you seeing, feeling, sensing from your kids?
We are very honest with our kids, and so there have been honest conversations about that. And I think that could lead to anxiety, but we are also being really careful to not expose our kids to very much news at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, even just the normal amount of news we might have around, we're just shutting that down for a little bit here. We're also trying to answer their questions as they come up and make sure that they know we are okay. We are not living out of fear and anxiety right now, and I think that's helping them be solid.
Marilee, I want to come back to something that you mentioned that really struck me. We live in a day of media. All of us, our kids included, can have access to like internet, on TV, on all these different ways that they can have pretty unfiltered content coming in. But just because it is available doesn't mean we have to make it be available to our kids unfiltered. Mm-hmm. It really struck me that you guys are filtering what content your kids are getting in regards to the whole COVID-19 and what's going on in our world right now. That sounds like a really wise thing to do. We'd love to hear your thoughts about it.
I think there are the things that they need to know and that help inform why we're doing what we're doing. We want them to understand why we're not just running to the library, why we're not being out in public places. So they need to have that information, and I think that's important for them. They don't need to know the specific numbers of people who have been infected or, you know, whatever it is that is just too overwhelming. It's not helpful to them. They can't really do anything about it. And I'm a person that prefers to give my kids truth and knowledge and help them work through it. But I think right now it's just doing that in ways that are meaningful to them, that they can feel some sense of safety, and letting go of the things that they don't need to know, which means I have to have other adults that I can process my own stuff with, my own worries, to say, hey, have you seen this graph and this chart? But I'm not doing that with my kids. And we're intentionally being careful not to talk about those things in front of our kids.
When you think about it, I mean, the media overall, I would say, they don't tend to be sensitive to your kids and thinking about what kids need to hear and from what perspective. News kind of plays off the sensational. So there's a lot of sensationalness in what's going on right now. But again, to shield our kids from the sensational and give them a good, healthy perspective of it just sounds super wise to me.
Yes. We may need to know the information. We may take in the sensational sometimes, and we have to find somewhere to process that so we're not doing it in front of them.
Marilee, there are a lot of parents right now that just got handed something they were totally not expecting, which is their kids at home. And not only their kids at home, but for many, responsibility for teaching their kids. And they've never done that before. Help. Thoughts?
Dan, I know you've homeschooled before. We homeschooled before when we worked at the group home. And my first thing I want to communicate to all the parents now in this situation is just for them to understand that this is not typical homeschooling. Don't put all of those expectations on yourself that we might have when you pick out curriculum and you plan out your year and you pick the extracurriculars you want your kids to do when you're homeschooling. This is not that. We are just trying to survive something totally unprecedented. So I think the key for all of us is to have really realistic, maybe even low expectations of ourselves and our kids of what's going to come out of this. And to think maybe instead of all the academic outcomes we want to achieve, to think about the character outcomes and the family moments of togetherness we might be able to have and the ways we can give our kids calm and help them self-regulate. But, oh my goodness, I can't possibly be teaching exactly the way this classroom teacher was and things I didn't even know she was teaching or what was important, I'm not going to be able to do that. So we're going to have to figure out what the schools want from us and figure out how to do that without taking on all of the extra weight that it can feel like to do that to a certain high expectation level.
Marilee, speak to the parent that's overwhelmed, that's frustrated, that's anxious.
On a very practical level, I think our kids need nurture and they need structure. So they need to know that you are a safe place for them and they are safe in your home, and they also need to know what is going to happen today. Mm. For our family, that means literal schedules posted on the wall so that they have a general flow. And I'll give you a pro tip of many years of making schedules. Kids like getting mad at the piece of paper when it says what they have to do and they don't get mad at you. It's the most magical thing I've ever experienced. So instead of having to tell them every day what now it's time to do this, I write it down and then, oh no, it says I have to do this. Oh yeah, that stinks. I'm so sorry. So get those things on paper where you can say, these are our priorities. And I started with what are my priorities and worked backward to make the schedule to say, these are the things I hope we can actually do. That's been really beautiful and fun, and the kids are actually enjoying it at this moment. And I think if you're feeling like you're in free fall, sometimes it takes those practical steps to kind of create that structure for everybody. And I think the person who needs it most is me. But I think also having a ton of grace for yourself, a ton of grace for your kids, to think what comes out of this may not be a huge moment of academic progress, and that's okay. What comes out of this may be a better family culture, a better understanding of each other and our gifts and our struggles and who we are, and that can be an okay outcome too.
I love the simplicity of that, merely of nurture and structure.
I think we all need that, but I think especially our kids, and I think especially when they have reasons to be anxious. And the truth is, they have good reasons right now. They don't always have good reasons. The boogeyman is not real, but we're dealing with something that's real. And so I think it's even more important that we give our kids those kind of guardrails of knowing that they're loved and they're safe in our home, but also knowing this is what you can expect today.
Marilee, as we're talking this morning, I mean, you've got six kids. You're walking with them through the current state of our world. I'd be curious on what are some things that you and Brian have been communicating to your kids? Well, as you've stepped back and thought about, hey, what do I want to make sure that I'm instilling in the hearts of my kids?
I think the biggest thing for us is communicating to them that we do not live in fear. We are not hiding in our house in fear. We are making the decisions we are making out of love, out of concern for other people, out of compassion for other people. But we are not doing this in a panic. We're not trying to hide from the world. And I think it's really easy for our kids to get that confused or to be afraid for their own safety and security. So it takes us being really intentional to talk about, here are the people that we know that could be very negatively impacted by this. So these are the decisions we're going to make. And we're doing it because we love them, not because we are scared for ourselves or our own safety here.
Marilee, as you as a family have kind of rallied together and processing the realities that you find yourself in as a family all at home, what are some ways that you've thought about to capitalize? You know, there may be some things that really are positive that come out of this time because it's allowing us to do this.
I feel like for years, and you and I have even talked about this, how great it would be to just stop all the things that our kids have been doing so much for so long, even though it was good things, or even though for our family, we've put real limits on how much we do, but with six kids, even one kid doing a thing is a lot of things.
Right.
But now we are doing no things. So I had no idea my kids could play Monopoly for so many hours in a row. This is a new skill that we have now figured out. All of these things that I thought, oh man, I would love if someday we had more time to all sit around and read together, or to be having more intentional family devotional time together, or, you know, whatever it is, they are figuring out, even as brothers and sisters, that they have each other. And if they don't have each other, they're going to be really miserable. So you got to figure out how to help the five-year-old win at Clue every once in a while, or he does not want to play anymore. So it's actually been really beautiful to me in some ways. I'm seeing this as kind of precious. I went around the table last night and said, you know, next year, does anybody want to homeschool? Because they're actually seeing some fun in this and beauty in this. And I think that's an opportunity we have that we're going to miss if we're feeling so stressed by the whole thing, or angry, or afraid ourselves.
Here's the thing that is sobering. There are plenty of us, plenty of families, individuals who the busyness helped us cope, like with a broken life, a broken family, maybe broken relationships. Like, there isn't necessarily peace in our home, but now we're in our home. What do we do with that? When the stillness and the quiet and the slowdown starts to bubble up, reveal just some brokenness in our lives and our families.
I think on the one hand, this is a really great opportunity to have to face those things. And I think about how many families I've coached that are raising kids from trauma, and those kids have major issues. And the back of my mind, I've thought, man, I wish you guys could just have like 2 weeks just with your child. I think you'd have to see the things. You'd have to address the things. You'd have to build trust together. I think this actually could be really beautiful, and having to see those things and really meet the needs and talk about them and not be able to run and hide from them. I think that's one potential positive. I think the other side of it is figuring out how to take care of yourself if things are really unhealthy. How can you, like, I would not say our home is really unhealthy, but when my husband gets home, I've been taking an unnecessarily long walk with the dog. I am getting out of the house for a while, and the kids are crying, like, please don't leave us. Like, I've been with you every single minute of every day. I have to take this walk. Now, figuring out how to do those things for your own mental health, for your own emotional and spiritual health, to help you get through this time, to say it's okay to shut your door, it's okay to lock your door for a little bit, it's okay to say, I will use sometimes kid language to say, mommy is a little fussy and she needs a timeout. I'm just going to go timeout myself so I can make better choices, because sometimes we need that to cope with what's going on.
Marilee, as I think about a lot of the things that we're hearing, a lot of the things that we're doing, there's a lot of reaction going on right now. What does it look like for families potentially to begin to move out of reacting to responding and to being proactive?
I think it takes an intentional moment of pause. Whatever that looks like for mom and dad together, to have a pause, for mom for sure to have a pause and to say, okay, Stan, I love your phrase, beginning with the end in mind. Yeah. We did not intend to begin this. This is not a beginning right. I asked for or planned for or was thinking about this year, but here we are. This is the beginning. So whatever that end looks like, whenever it comes, what do I want my kids to remember about this? Mm. What do I want for them to have seen through this time of being with me constantly, of me taking on these responsibilities, of the general fear in the world? How can I do this well? So I think that we don't want to just be responding to everything out of fear or panic, but that takes stopping and saying, okay, so what should this look like? What can this look like for our family that this could actually end up being a positive for all of us?
Marilee, as you've been walking with God through this and seeking to listen to him, spending time in his word, anything that he's whispered to your heart that's been a comfort and encouragement, a grounding truth to you?
I think it has been this idea of rest and of slowing down. And when we get up in the morning now, it's been this constant for years, okay, hurry, hurry, we have to do this next thing. We have these artificial timelines of when all the things need to get done, which is can create such anxiety, such angst, and it's also good, and I love it, and I miss it very, very much. But we have a moment right now where there is no external timeline There's just what we think is important to do. And I think finding rest in that, finding peace in that, helping my kids see me as a peaceful person, a restful person, instead of as always this go, go, go person. I think that's been new and beautiful for me, and I'm trying to lean into it, even though that is not my norm. That is not what I wanted for right now or for this season, but saying, I can do this. We can do these things, and I think it could be to the benefit of our kids.
Well, Marilee, it has been great connecting with you again this morning. Thank you so much for giving us some really good insight and so many good things to think about as we are all facing these new challenges in our culture.
Thank you for having me. You sure you don't want to talk about more stuff? Because I'm going to have to go back and do all the kid things now.